1985.
Not a bad year. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Right. Explain that to me, given how you were, like, not here at all.
-4.
You were, like, pulling memories down from the ether.
From the memory bank of heaven.
Yes. Up there, looking through the window, I was getting my nerd on in high school.
You still rocking the Jerry Curl?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I rocked that until my first couple of years of college.
Excuse me.
But yeah, they I was rocking my nerd vibe. So one of the seniors in my shop class, he nicknamed me Spike.
Spike.
It was one of those ironic nicknames because maybe I look more like a spike now, but in high school, I was this tall, skinny kid with a Jerry curl, and I didn't look like I could threaten anybody. So Spike was the perfect nickname for me.
Okay.
So I was Spike, and everybody called me Spike, except for my teacher, who would call me and the other people in class characters. You characters need to get to work, Mr. Morrow. Mr. Morrow was I've had some good teachers over, you know, through my educational career that's long been over. But Mr. Morrow was by far my favorite and my best teacher because he was my commercial art teacher. So he taught me commercial art, and he was good at teaching because he was a good artist. But he taught me so much more than that. We had some pretty good conversations. His influence loomed over me in a large way throughout the rest of my life. And one of the saddest days was I had gone back to my hometown and decided to just look him up and give him a call. And I reached his wife, who said that he had passed a few years before that. So, I was bummed. But I didn't mean to suck the air out of the room.
Ooh.
Yeah, you live long enough, you're going to see folks pass away.
That's one thing about time. It's unforgiving.
Yeah, goes one way, at least for us. But 85 was a shame that you weren't around for it. There were a lot of cool things. Although it was the height of the 80s, as I mentioned in previous episodes, fashions were obnoxious. Those colors and, you know, those skinny ties and the aforementioned Jerry curl. And music had some highs and it had some lows, as I'm sure you are probably going to be aware better than most, being the sound hound that you are.
Oh, I love music. That's my go-to.
It's so funny. Back when Reagan was in the White House, he was the oldest president to occupy the office. And by comparison, now he is a mere babe. 85. Good year for entertainment in general. I was surprised how many movies I came across for that year.
Yeah, well, same here. I'm surprised I actually seen the ones that I picked.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I obviously when we prep for these things, you know, you do research just so, well, what was out that year? But then there's ones that you remember were out that don't come up on any lists when you search.
Yeah.
And that happened to me a couple times, so I threw them in my honorable mentions.
And you're like, that came out that year? What?
Yeah.
It's like 30 times.
That's happened to me a few times doing these. Well, I mean, actually, I'm still upset about last week's episode. I still can't believe, as profoundly as I was affected by She's Having a Baby, how I completely forgot that it was released in 88.
Oh, yeah. And I watched it last weekend.
Okay. Does it still hold up?
Yeah, it's still really good. It's still up there with the greats today.
I'm going to watch it again next chance I get. Because I, like I said, I have really fond memories of that movie. Yeah, I miss the works of John Hughes in general. because there was something very honest about them. I didn't, and I don't know why I didn't realize that he actually directed Weird Science. But that was the movie that introduced me to Bill Paxton as Chet. John Hughes owned the 80s, so might have to do like a kind of a John Hughes movie festival.
Yeah, and what's cool about his movies is they still hold up. They're still
Yeah.
relevant.
Well, because, once again, they were genuine. He found ways of making sure that there were real moments, moments that I'm sure were probably from his experience, growing up, and from, and like I said, I'm convinced that She's Having a Baby was meant to be a personal opus for him.
Was definitely a good one.
Well, speaking of movies, I believe it is your turn to go first this episode.
Oh yeah. I have 10. I have a top 10. We're gonna start out with my favorite movie of all time. Well, from 85, The Goonies.
Oh, yes. See, there's another
Yeah.
one that I forgot was released in 85.
It's funny, I just recently bought the Blu-ray of it. And my favorite saying, "Hey, you guys."
I
Can't tell you how many times I yell at my kids like that.
Yeah, fun movie. Richard Donner
Oh man.
directed, the same man who directed Goonies directed all the Lethal Weapon movies.
Really? I didn't know that. That's awesome.
The same man who directed Superman and The Omen
The
directed the
Omen? We just saw that. Me and my daughter did.
original one.
The original, yeah.
Yep, Richard Donner. Richard Donner was a fantastic director. But Goonies, yes, good pick.
The second pick I have is Revolution with Al Pacino in it.
Yes, okay.
Whoa.
Surprised that you picked that one, but I came across it in my research.
I mean, if it has Al Pacino in it, it's up there, top 10, easily.
Yeah, he usually does a good job. He never phones it in.
Right. My third one is Cat's Eye with a young Drew Barrymore and James
Yes,
Woods.
I remember that movie.
The next pick I have is Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox.
Bing.
Oh, I have a feeling you have that one on your list.
Do you?
Yeah, I have a feeling you do.
It's possible.
What's his middle name?
I don't know what his middle name is, but it does not start with J.
For some reason, I wrote down Michael Jackson Fox.
Now, that is definitely not his middle name.
That's not it.
He said, I don't remember what the reason was. I think there might have already been a Michael Fox in SAG.
Okay.
So he put the J in his name because of Michael J. Pollard. So Michael J. Pollard is an older actor. Oh, and that's what he said, where he decided to put a J in his name. But it was probably because there was a Michael Fox already in SAG.
Yeah, so you had to change it up a little bit to not
Which is
confuse people.
one of those ironies. A lot of times actors have to do that, and create a stage name
Yeah.
because their real name they can't use. For example, Michael Keaton's name is Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
But
So he had to change it.
Michael Douglas was already using that name. Michael J. Fox more than likely threw the J in because of there being a Michael Fox already in SAG. But he was very he's been very public about choosing the J because, being inspired by Michael J. Pollard.
Right. My fifth pick, I had to go with Stephen King because he's one of my favorite authors, but it's Stephen King's Silver Bullet with Gary Busey.
And Corey Haim.
Have you seen Silver Bullet?
Never heard of it.
And Gary Busey doesn't play his normal goofy role in it. He's a pretty serious character.
Yeah, well, I mean, except for building the rocket-powered wheelchair. Of course, I've seen it. It's on my list.
This
Yeah,
is Stephen King.
interesting bit of trivia, by the way, is I got my first job in 1985, and it was working in a movie theater.
When that movie came out.
So that movie was actually in the theater that I worked in. So I had seen that movie more than a couple times.
Oh, nice. I saw it once.
Teen Wolf also fits into that category.
Yeah, that one I've seen a few times.
Next.
Okay, sixth pick is Police Academy 2. Their first assignment.
Okay.
Michael Winslow, he's still one of my all-time favorites when it comes to noises, and he's able to throw his voice across the room. I mean, who else can do that?
Yeah, I don't know of anyone. Yeah, he's pretty much got that whole thing on lock. I don't know of too many other people that do what he does.
No, not at all. My next pick is, and I know you have this one. I just have a sneaky feeling you have this one. The Breakfast Club.
What is that?
It's a club where you go eat breakfast. I'll go to my next pick. It'll be Rambo First Blood Part 2. Yeah, we recently
Yes.
watched all those.
Yeah, I guess I forgot that one came out in 85 also. Rambo First Blood Part 2 was a bit of a game changer for the action movies. Know a lot of people were pissed at Stallone though, because he actually was not a Vietnam vet.
Yeah, it was just acting.
But he allegedly he said that before shooting that movie, he actually did go through, I don't know if he went through all of the Green Beret training, but he went through certain aspects of it, some of the more harrowing aspects of Green Beret training, and he said he would never do it again. He told a story about part of it involved climbing up like some kind of some kind of a structure.
Yeah.
And then when he got to the top, he had to jump out to a 4 foot overhang. And he almost didn't make it. He
Oh,
almost didn't grab
jeez.
it. So he said he would never do it again. But I mean, you always had to give Stallone credit for just taking the physical aspects of any role he undertook to the limit, and Rambo was no exception. I don't know if you so Rambo First Blood Part 2 was right in between Rocky 3 and Rocky 4, and he made it a point to when he played Rambo, he was leaner
Yeah.
and more streamlined, but then when he played Rocky, he bulked up. I don't know if you can see, if you pull up two pictures of, pull up a picture of him as Rambo, and then pull up a picture of him as Rocky in that era, you can see a distinct difference in his build.
Okay. I'll have
Yeah,
to
I mean, he
Google
would
it.
pay attention to details like that.
That's a hard thing to do too. Hats off to anybody who can bulk up and then slim back down for movies.
There's a few people who do it. Tom Hanks won't do it anymore. He said he jacked himself up, and I think he gave himself diabetes doing it.
Oh,
So
jeez.
he was somebody who would do it, but he stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Christian Bale is famous for it also. Robert De Niro would do it. Obviously, he's in his 80s now, so he won't be doing that anymore. Joaquin Phoenix has done it for Joker. Christian Bale was probably the most notorious for it because he became like a living skeleton for The Machinist, and then the next role he did was Batman Begins, so he like had to bulk up like crazy,
Right.
and he over bulked up when he showed up on set. They were like saying, "Yeah, what are we doing, Batman, a fat man," because he gained too much weight. But he was yeah, he had an impressive physique for Batman Begins when they finally ready to shoot, given that he was like a living skeleton for The Machinist.
The guy that plays Reacher? The TV series, not the movies.
Alan Ritchson.
That guy's huge.
Yeah, and he actually bulked up for that as well, so that because I mean, in the books, Reacher's supposed to be like a giant of a man, So, but Richson, I mean, he's in fantastic shape also, but he's actually, I think, a little bit bigger for that role than he normally is.
Yeah, dude's jacked.
Yeah, he's a giant. So next.
But speaking of Rocky, that's my ninth pick, Rocky IV, where he fights Captain Drago.
Oh, Ivan Drago.
Drago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I always get confused because that was Rocky 4, 85 or 86? And it was 85, wasn't it?
It was 85.
Rocky 4. Stallone just recut that movie, by the way.
Why?
Just to make it better. And it did. It makes it better. I don't know if you can still find it on Amazon. But it's just kind of like a revised director's cut. He just made a few changes to make it, the movie works better.
Okay, I'll have to rewatch it. I watched all the Rockies and then all the Creeds with my oldest daughter, and they still hold up. They're really good, all the Rockies. And I think they're making
Yes.
a Creed 4.
I hope that they I hope that this the feud gets resolved so that Stallone can come back to that franchise.
Yeah,
It's
that's what I was
just
about to say. Stallone might not be in it. It's just
well,
the.
he wasn't in the last one.
That's right, he wasn't.
And it was more so because of a feud with between him and Winkler, the guy who actually
Right.
he owns the rights to the franchise. So, but yeah, that story is, it's still, I mean, Creed is still the Rocky story, and it is better with him in it. Mind you, the last one was good. I think
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan did a fantastic job with it.
He held it up.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely understands that world now, and he is good. He's very good at what he does. But Creed is still, like I said, it's still better with Stallone in it because it's still very much the Rocky universe.
You're just waiting for that Stallone entrance. You know, oh, there he is.
And I like seeing the Rocky character switch to a mentor, because that's one of the few characters that's still on screen, or at least was still on screen, that we know his entire journey.
Right.
We saw him rise up from just being like a thug, to somebody who has something really real to fight for, and then he fights these monumental battles in the ring, and he's just a character who's genuinely pure of heart,
Yeah.
not maybe not the smartest guy in the world, but he just he embodies that whole thing. It's not about how hard you hit, but how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's Rocky's mantra.
From the
And
beginning, from a street scrapper to a professional boxer.
yeah, and still at the same time, manages to defy being a professional boxer. Just kind of is, more or less a warrior because he's always got something to fight for. And you like, it's just a really logical progression of seeing that character transition to a mentor.
And it shows you can't win all of them.
And particularly to the son of his most famous rival
Yeah.
and then friend. But I've run my face enough. Next.
I picked this one last. I just like the beginning of it. I believe it's the breakfast entrance. It's called Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Who wouldn't want to make breakfast the way he does?
And there you have it with my. And there you have it with my.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to use the phone.
I wasn't a big fan of his comedy, but his movie was good. How does that?
And, well, it's funny that character was introduced as an on-stage kind of persona for during his stand-up.
Yeah.
And while Pee-wee Herman kind of has this perception of being for kids, you had Pee-wee's Playhouse on Saturday morning. When he introduced that character doing a stand-up, he was absolutely not for kids in any way, shape, or form.
That
And
took a
I think,
turn.
yeah, and I think that had a lot to do with why he did what he did. The kind of the public lewdness,
Yeah.
the that episode. I think that was maybe his way of trying to break free from that whole mold. But I'm theorizing. I don't know for sure.
That could be the whole reasoning behind it, though.
Yes. You don't publicly discipline your primate if you want to continue having a career after that.
Right.
That was my classy way of saying spank the monkey. But
Yeah,
okay.
it
I was I was explaining that for those folks who might be playing the home version.
okay. We have to censor ourselves a little bit every now and
Yes.
then.
So, any honorable mentions?
No, that was it. That's all I have. I'm curious what you have.
Okay, well then I will go very, very quickly. So, starting off, number 10 is Clue, the movie, which that movie still cracks me up to this day.
Does it follow the board game?
Yes, it's based very much on the board game. And it even has multiple endings.
Oh, wow.
Nine, Silverado, which had a lot to do with bringing the Western back. Not the only Western of that year, but certainly a very good one.
All
First
right.
movie that I remember seeing Kevin Costner in the speaking role. But it was,
Feel
yeah,
like I've seen it.
Kevin Kline, Kevin Costner, Danny Glover, and Scott Glenn. And entertaining movie. Number eight would be The Color Purple, based on the Alice Walker book, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
They just re-released a remake like last year. Next is Pale Rider, another Western with Clint Eastwood.
Another good one. I saw it
Very
on
good
there,
one.
but I knew you'd pick it.
Next is The Breakfast Club.
Never heard of
Yep, I didn't think you did. John Hughes. Next is Silver Bullet. And once again, that was at the theater that I worked at. And my favorite part of that movie is the end. Now that's how you use a jump scare. If you remember, after they shot out his other eye, he reverted back to a human,
Yeah, I
and
remember
then like
that.
it looks like he's there dying, and then he just lunges out. I realized at that moment that I needed more fiber in my diet.
Wait for everyone else to leave the theater. Good.
Next is Legend. Tom Cruise in a very different role for him.
I haven't seen that one.
If you can, it's worth the watch. It's very well produced. It was directed by Ridley Scott. It's kind of a fairy tale, kind of a story. I'm not going to do the movie justice by giving you the synopsis. Just see it.
Right.
But yeah, it's a very different kind of role for Tom Cruise. And Tim Curry, who was also in Clue, actually plays the bad guy in it. He plays Darkness, who basically looks like a big version of the devil. Witness with Harrison Ford, and I believe he got an Oscar nomination
It was his
for
way
it.
of steering away from his traditional character.
Yeah, it was the movie, the first chance he got to show people that he could really act.
Right.
And his next movie role would, be a tour de force performance, not as critically acclaimed, but Mosquito Coast is a very, very interesting movie. He does not play a hero, by the way. His character of Ali Fox is nuts, but it's a really good Harrison Ford performance if you get a chance to see it. But Witness is good also. I very much liked it.
I'll have to check them both out because I'm a big fan of his.
So I'm just going to really quickly plug Lady Hawk, which was also directed by Richard Donner,
I haven't heard of
Matthew
it.
Broderick, Rutger Hauer, Michelle Pfeiffer. Rutger Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer are cursed lovers, where they're destined to never be together, because at night he becomes a wolf and during the day she becomes a hawk. And they can only just get catch glimpses of each other at sunrise and sunset.
I'll check that one out. I'm a big like fantasy fan, so
You would like it.
yeah, throw me
I'm
Lord of the
pretty sure you would.
Rings, anything like that.
So really quick for my honorable mentions, Pray for Death, we talked about before, Shokosuke,
Yeah.
Teen Wolf, I know you've never heard of it,
Nope.
Vision Quest, which with a young Matthew Modine, who is he plays a high school wrestler. And my last honorable mention is Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Is that
So,
another fantasy movie?
no, it's based on the Destroyer series, a book series about a guy that the government recruits him for this, basically the shadow organization, which is, doesn't officially exist, and they change his face and they train him with martial arts skills from this Korean named Chun, and they name him Remo from the in the movie. I didn't read the book series, but in the movie they get his name off the bottom of a bedpan.
I'd
But
be stuck with it.
he ends up building up a skill set which includes being able to walk over wet cement, and dodge bullets. And things along those lines. And they were talking about sequels, but they only ever made one. Now, if you see this movie, it's very dated. So there are some things about it that don't hold up, but it's still fun.
Still a good little flick.
Yep. And then my final actual pick of the movies is, and I'm surprised this wasn't on your list, Back to the Future.
Oh, I missed that one.
So the interesting bit of trivia about Back to the Future was, and Teen Wolf was shot the year before,
Yeah.
but it was released, I think, after Back to the Future.
Must
And
have
I
been
think
some heavy editing.
they were capitalizing on the kind of the success of Back to the Future when they released Teen Wolf, and you were kind of using Michael J. Fox to promote ticket sales for Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Now, the irony was, even though they wanted, and I'm sure this is a well-known story, but they wanted Michael J. Fox for Back to the Future originally, but they couldn't get him due to scheduling conflicts. So they went with Eric Stoltz and shot some footage with him, but he just didn't, he didn't have the humor. He just really didn't have the character. So they said, well, they went back to Michael J. Fox and said, well, we'll make it work. So while he was shooting Family Ties, he was, schlepping over and shooting Back to the Future. So basically, the poor guy wasn't sleeping.
Goodness.
But the results are on screen, and you can't argue the results. So it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, I still want a
They would
DeLorean.
have. Yeah, so do a lot of people. What kind of television did you watch back in '85? Oh, that's right, none. But
was watching it. I was looking down. I was like, hey, that's a good show down there. Can I go now? God's like, nope.
what TV picks might you have had?
I have five.
Okay.
I have four. I miscounted.
Oh, okay.
I went through a list and I was like, I haven't seen any of these, but these four. My first one, my aunt's gonna really like this pick. The Golden Girls.
Of course.
Yeah, I picked that one for
And
her.
by the way, I just wanted to say, in all sincerity, thank you for being a friend.
Growing pains.
Okay.
And my third pick, I almost said fourth. I can't even count this morning. The Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
That gets referenced a lot when I went to the Temptations concert. And my fourth pick, MacGyver.
Okay.
Give him a popsicle stick, a piece of string, and he'll kill like 30 people.
He didn't kill anybody, though, did he?
No, he did what was it? I like rescue stuff.
Yeah. So my take on MacGyver, and by the way, it's on my list, is MacGyver, I think my theory is that it was heavily inspired by the A-Team.
Yeah, it kind of has that feel to it.
So 'cause follow me. So every and like in many of those episodes of the A-Team, where they'd be like pinned down or they'd be, some in some remote situation, they would need to like make armaments or make, vehicles. So they would just take whatever was around them and they would just, craft whatever they needed. And they'd end up, putting like a barricade and a turret on a car or something like that. And but the only difference was is they were very much about shooting guns. So if you notice, that was the one thing about MacGyver is like he was no guns.
Right.
So I think that that was, in my mind, MacGyver was a kind of a direct, almost an indirect spin-off of the A-Team in that respect. But still a good show. And, at that time it was the 80s, so Richard Dean Anderson could rock some really, really aggressive haircuts back then. Kind of made the mullet fashionable and
I
cool.
was just
Everybody
about
thought
to
that they looked
say the
like,
mullet.
yeah, everybody thought that they looked like MacGyver when they rocked the mullet. But the sad reality is that 99% of the people who wore mullets did not look that cool.
You know, it's funny. In the 90s, I had a rat tail with a mullet. Yeah.
Period appropriate, you were allowed.
Right.
So, MacGyver, obviously one of my picks. Also, the original Equalizer.
Was the
One of
movies based off that?
the movies and the Queen Latifah show were based off of the same subject matter. Yeah, they're all those characters are named McCall, but the first one was from the 80s, and the character was played by Edward Woodward, who ironically was younger than Denzel was when he played the role, but looked way older. But he was still, I mean, that everybody loves that premise about, somebody who has the skill set to stand up for the little guy and equalize what's wrong.
Right. And that's the
So,
movies. Movies are great.
Spencer for Hire is my next pick. Robert Urich, played Spencer the private detective, show that also introduced Hawk, played by Avery
Oh.
Brooks, who would go on to have his own show called A Man Called Hawk. Moonlighting, show that made Bruce Willis a star.
That was
Him and
85.
Sybil Shepherd. Yep.
Nice.
And then 227.
Wasn't it risky to have numbers as a TV show back then?
Not for them. 227 seemed to run for a while, and it was a good show.
Nice.
Marla Gibbs, who was, known for playing Florence in the Jeffersons, and I think her husband was played by Hal Williams. And yeah, it was a good show. And if you tune in, you'll recognize a lot of familiar faces. And my honorable mentions are the Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes Comedy Hour.
I'm surprised I didn't put that on my list.
Love me some Bugs Bunny, still do. Thundercats. And then G.I. Joe.
I did watch a few episodes of G.I. Joe, but it was the 90s reruns.
Well, now we know. And knowing is half the battle.
Which means we won half of the war.
Oh, really afraid for this next segment. Let's just go ahead and pull the band-aid off.
I did good this time. I've got five picks and one honorable mention.
Okay.
I kept it a minimum.
All righty.
You want to jump into the music?
Go ahead.
First one, and I did this because we live here. Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. Bit of an edgy, jaded song when you listen to it.
It is, isn't it? The only part I really want to yell out is Born in the USA.
No. Right.
My next pick, number two, is Careless Whisper by Wham.
Wham! Yes.
Wham. You have to say it like You can't just
Yeah.
say wham. No, you got to go wham. My third
Okay.
pick,
Yes.
Wake Me Up Before You Go Go.
I'm seeing a trend here starting. Bit of a jitterbug in your. I'm sorry,
Like a
jitterbug.
jitterbug.
I do the jitterbug.
Number four, I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner.
I did see that and I was doing some digging. It almost made it onto my list because it's such a just it impacted the culture. And I think it's been covered a few times.
Well, if I wasn't sounding like this today, I would have belted that out for you.
Well, another time perhaps.
Another time, I will
Because I want
sing for you. But this
to hear.
next
And
one and my last pick, you'll like this one. It's You're the Inspiration by Chicago.
oh, okay.
I have one honorable mention.
Okay.
It's you ready for this one?
Go ahead.
Take On Me by Aha.
Once again, can't ignore the cultural impact. The video was at the time revolutionary. Nobody had seen that done before.
I haven't seen the video.
Okay, yeah, pull YouTube it. Well, for my music picks, we are the world. We are the children.
Oh, I like it.
Yes, by USA for Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And then my number two pick is I Feel For You by Chaka Khan with Stevie Wonder on the harmonica. I think it was Melly Mel who did the opening rap. And it was also written by Prince.
That's why it was good.
Yep. So my next pick is Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters, one of many good releases from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
I will have to check that one out. I'm pretty sure I've heard it.
Yes, you have. I'm sure you have. Suddenly by Billy Ocean, very nice ballad from him. And then my honorable mention, also from the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, Axel F by Harold Faltermeyer.
All right.
And this song I didn't really appreciate when it first came out, but as I went back and listened to it, especially when she died, I kind of appreciated it more because it's just a really well-produced song. It's We Don't Need Another Hero by Tina Turner.
I'm about to listen to that one again.
I just kind of glossed over it when it came out. I was like, eh, whatever. But as
Yeah.
I went back and listened to it just put together really well. And then my number one music pick is One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head from the production of Chess.
Okay. I remember that song.
Yes, it plays like a rap, so
It
it was
does.
very, you know. But yeah, good stuff for the 80s, man. I'm always impressed with how thorough your picks are and your research is for an era where you weren't alive.
I know, right? I could probably go back down to the 30s, honestly.
Well, one thing we haven't done yet is go back to a year that precedes me. The closest we did that was 1969, so I guess it's as we start to run out of years where we were both alive, we're probably going to end up having to pick some years before that. And the next year is your turn, so I will be very curious as to what year you pick.
I might even go back down to the Rat Pack days.
I ain't scared.
We'll see what kind of funnel that brings us.
Well, I guess we got another one for the books. So I guess it's time for a little bit of housekeeping.
Forget to like, subscribe, and share. And remember, if you're not yelling at your kids, you're not spending enough time with them.
Yes, that will resonate with anyone who has kids.
Perfect, isn't it?
I am Scott.
I'm Sam.
And this has been XY Podcasts. And in signing off, I will say X
Why?
and Z
Z.
you later. We really got to get that
We really do. We'll do that eventually.
up. All right. And we are out. Right. Well, get some. Get some throat lozenges or whatever you need to do to get that taken care of.
Know earlier when I said aha, I was just coughing or clearing my throat.
Aha! Aha! I thought it was just for emphasis.
Was
So
perfect because
is this
right
a
when it
James
happened, I
Brown
accidentally.
song? Yeah. Is it a group called Aha or?
Aha. A hawk.
Ah.
A hawk. No, to a.